Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response of a day for the 28th of Tammuz. Thank you very much for joining us. Today we're going to talk about Rav Moshe Feinstein's discussion of using a crutches or a wheelchair on Shabbat. This is from Shut Igrot Moshe from Ora Chaim, Chelek Dalet, the fourth volume of Ora Chaim, Simon Sadi, in the 90th response. And the question is, if somebody has trouble walking on Shabbat, and there's no Eruv, is the assumption here. This is from the 28th of Tammuz of Tuf Shin Lamed Bet of 1972, a time when there were many, many places that did not have Eruv in. So without an Eruv, it's not allowed to carry on Shabbat. We're going to talk about the different levels of the prohibition of carrying on Shabbat in the course of the Tshuva. And so the question is, it becomes clear in the course of the Tshuva, the question is, there was a man who had trouble walking, or a woman, there was a person who had trouble walking, and there was a family simcha. And the question was how to get the elderly person or the person with the trouble walking to the simcha on Shabbos if they cannot fully walk on their own. So the man who had written the tshuva to the question to Rav Moshe had some ideas. He had suggested some thoughts, and Rav Moshe is going to respond to them. So the case seems to be a person who can't walk completely on his or her own, but with crutches can. So the man who had sent the question to Rav Moshe had suggested that this could be parallel to a case in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about a toddler is basically what we're talking about, who can't yet fully walk on his or her own, but if his mother or her mother, or any adult really, but in 72, who else would have been doing it but a mother? That was a question about what was the right thing to do. I'm just talking about the facts of back then. So the Gemara says, which is even earlier, that the mother, if she holds the toddler's hands, and the toddler can pick up one leg after the other, meaning the mother's not carrying the toddler, all the mother does is hold the baby's hands, and the baby walks, so that's allowed. The mother can do that with the baby, according to Rashi and a bunch of Mishonim who agreed with Rashi, and they think that this kind of a toddler, this kind of a baby, is considered noseid atzmo, that the baby is really the one carrying himself or herself, as it were, and therefore, even though there's no Eruv, there's no problem, and there, the part of the answer that the Gemara gives and that they understand the Gemara to be giving is that there, even if the mother were to happen to pick up the baby, the minor, the child, that would be considered no seyed atzmo, that the baby really carries him or herself, and really, we're going to talk about what that means later in the tshuva, later in the responsum. But therefore, that it's okay, because even if the mother picks the child up, it'll only be a derabbanan. So only in the sense that we don't prohibit the helping the baby walk along on its own with the clear understanding that you're not supposed to pick up the baby and carry this baby even without an Eruv being there. But even if one does, since the baby does carry itself in some way, no seyed atzmo, we'll come back to that. But therefore, the mother's allowed to do this according to Rashi and many Rishonim. And the reason that Rav Moshe says it, and so Rav Moshe says, but he thinks it's only about a katan, about a child, because fundamentally, the walking the child does, that we're talking about, is the same walking as every other person. Meaning it's you pick up a leg and you put it down, and then you pick up the other leg and you put it down. The only function of the mother or the adult in that situation, Rav Moshe says, is that the baby is still not steady enough on his or her feet to feel comfortable with the ordinary walking that the rest of us do. It's a fear issue. Or maybe it's that the legs aren't yet quite strong enough to hold the whole body's weight on the one leg while the other leg is being picked up and then put to the next spot and put down. But the form of walking, Rav Moshe is saying, the child is doing on his or her own already. So it's that, he thinks, that's the key piece of what the Gemara says when the Gemara says that we're allowed to that we're allowed to help this child walk. That being true, we're allowed to think of this child as a mehalech, as an ambulatory person, velo kafut, and not as somebody who is unable to walk. And therefore, so in the sense of being noseid atzmo, of being able to push oneself and move oneself and take oneself one place to the other, this child already qualifies, even though he or she, the baby, the child, the toddler, whatever we're going to call this kid, needs some help. That help doesn't change the fundamental fact that the walking is coming from the child, not really from the mother, now, or the father, or whoever it is who's helping the child walk. But not that this is Rav Moshe's issue, but that says that according to Rav Moshe, it would mean that we'd have to be careful that when would somebody be doing that with a child if the adult feels like, no, they're really the ones pulling the child along, the child isn't really walking, just has to be moving their legs to sort of keep up, Rav Moshe might have a problem with that. That might be a prohibition de Rabbanan, that even a person who is noseya atzmo, we're not allowed to carry them in a place without an eruv, as we'll see later in the tshuva. But coming back to our adult, who now has a problem with their walking, and therefore needs crutches, and will come to a wheelchair, so even if it's true, Rav Moshe says, that with the help of the crutches, the person can lift up. So there are two ways that people walk on crutches, Rav Moshe is going to refer to. One is where the person fundamentally walks step by step, and the crutch sort of helps the walking step by step. That's closer to ordinary human walking, and therefore you might think that that's better. And then the other side that we're going to get to in a second will be when, no, you lead on both crutches, move your legs, complete both legs to the next place, and then do it again with the crutches. That's less similar to ordinary human walking. So Rosh says, even in the first case, where it's ordinary human walking, the person who needs the crutches, the man or woman who needs the crutches, picks up a leg, puts it down, leans on the crutch, picks up the other leg, puts it down, leans on the crutch, that's still not the ordinary way of human people walking, because he has no ability, and that's why he needs the crutches, or she has no ability, that's why she needs the crutches, to put their weight on hers or her own legs, and therefore there's not really no siyadatsu, meaning that in the whole function of the crutches is to take the weight that this person's legs can no longer take. So that's going to be a problem. In the baby toddler case, the baby toddler really can support him or herself. It's just that it's not quite there yet. But in the crutches case, it's not true. It's because of a lack of ability to do that that the crutches are needed. Besides which, here's what Rosh says, and there are other people on crutches who can't put any weight on their legs, and the whole point of the crutches is they use the crutches sort of instead of legs, meaning by leaning on the two crutches at the same time, they allow themselves to lift their legs and put them to the next spot they want to get to, and then they stand on their two legs only long enough to put the crutches in a new place and do it again. So in those situations, it's really the crutches that are serving his legs, and therefore this person really can't hold themselves up or walk on their own 2 feet, and when they can't walk on their own 2 feet, that's considered kikafut, like they're sort of bound and unable to walk, and then it's really sort of, as they're being moved, it's a carrying function. Therefore, it would seem like completely different from the baby, and therefore that wouldn't be an answer that would suggest to us what one can do with the crutches. Then he says, well, that depends. There's a discussion he's previously had in Igros Moshe, in the first volume of Yoredeya, that when we say that chai is nosei es atzmo, that live people, right, can in some sense carry themselves, and therefore on a Torah level, on a biblical level, that's not considered carrying. And once on a biblical level it's not considered carrying, then there are various options that come into play, because with the Rabbanans, when Chazal made gezerot, when Chazal made rules, they often inserted loopholes into those rules. So it's not. Sometimes we get the impression that means that the Rabbanans are more lenient, right, are less serious than Doraitas, but that's not really what we mean. What we mean is that in the legislation of the Rabbanans, the assumption of the halachic system is that there were leniencies included in that legislation. So now you've got two possibilities. If one possibility is, it's not considered hotza'an, the prohibition of carrying is only when there's no way to get the object from one place to the other without a human being taking it from there. That's called hotza'ah. Rav Moshe is suggesting the prohibition on Shabbat of carrying is that a human being needs to get it from one place to the other. That's the carrying function. If that's true, then even a person who can't walk fully because of whatever reasons, but they can get it from, they can get themselves from place to place in some way. They could crawl, they could use crutches, they could this, they could that. So we might say that since that being true, then even if it's true that they can't do it on Shabbat without those crutches or whatever, but it might still be true that when another human being helps them, or the crutches help them, it's not going to be considered full hotza'ah, full Torah prohibition carrying, because they could have gotten there some other way of their own, meaning if I take a basketball from place A to place B, there's no way the basketball on its own could have said, oh, I want to get to place B, I'm going to get there. Doesn't happen. But since one possibility Rosh is suggesting is that since this human being, for all that they are not fully ambulatory, could have gotten themselves with difficulty, but could have gotten themselves from place A to place B, when another person does it for them, carries them, pushes them in a wheelchair, they do it with crutches, when all that happens, that won't be considered full d'oraita otzah. That's one possibility. The other possibility, Rav Moshe says, is that, and this is, I think, the more commonly assumed, I wouldn't say likely at all, the more commonly assumed possibility is that living people help almost involuntarily. Achayis nosi et asmo means that people help move themselves, right? That's why we think of those who have deceased, we call it dead weight, because that lightening of oneself, that helping with things, is not true of people who have passed away from the world. It's not true when people are resisting, for example. So chayis nosi et asmo is that they don't have any of that, that they have helped in the process. Maybe that is what the Gemara meant and said, that means that on a Torah level, there's not hotza'ah here because the chai, the person, helps along with it. If that's true, and the reason for that would be then that wouldn't be like in the Mishkan, because in the Mishkan, everything they were carrying had its full weight, and that's what he thought Rashi might have said. So when a baby, come back, our baby, our toddler that we started with, when he picks up one leg and doesn't and puts it down, and then picks up one leg and puts it down, he or she is helping along with the walking process, then that might be what the Gemara meant. If that's what the Gemara meant, that second one, and I believe that's the more common way that people read it, then a person who is ill, even if they're only ill in their legs, so not even if they're ill in their legs, they can't walk so well, then you have to question, maybe they're not able to do this as well, to be makel themselves, to lighten themselves, to help the other person who's helping them along, because they're actually heavier because they have no way to do it, and therefore he thinks that we would have to be machmir, that's what Rashi and Tosfos and the Rashba and the Ritva and others felt, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to do it. And that's really what Rav Moshe thinks. He thinks that people who have problems walking, fundamentally, sometimes it's just in their legs, but he thinks fundamentally people have problems walking, that illness means that they can't lighten themselves in this way, and they can't really walk at all, and therefore they'll have this problem, therefore they'll have this issue. So in terms of finding a kula, in terms of finding a leniency for this person, in terms of getting from within a place with no Eruv, to get from one place to the other on Shabbat with a person who can only walk with crutches or who needs a wheelchair, so Rav Moshe thinks that the comparison to the baby doesn't quite work, because the baby is fundamentally walking on his or her own, and that leads it to be all sorts of things that make it derabanan rather than d'oraita, even if the mother ends up carrying the baby, because the baby is nosei et asmo, which either means that the baby could theoretically get there on its own, or it means that the baby is already in the process of lightening him or herself, and therefore anybody who carries him isn't doing, or her, is not doing the full malacha, which doesn't apply to a chole, because by virtue of somebody who is already ill in the sense that they can't walk on their own, then they have problems with all of these issues. Having discarded this other rabbi's suggestion for a leniency, Rav Moshe now comes up with a completely different leniency of his own that he finds more convincing and it actually goes broader and more and helps even better than this man's idea. He says that if this person, whoever this ill person is who can't walk on their own, can sit in a wheelchair and move it on his or her own. Now, that's an important condition, which we'll see in a second, but moving on his or her own, so not all people who are in wheelchairs can do so, but if the person can move it on his or her own, Rav Moshe says he thinks that might be like a shoe. It might even be better than a shoe, because not every shoe is one allowed to use on Shabbat. There's a Rashi and Shabbos talks about wooden shoes and whether they're allowed, and how that, I'm not talking about whether that's relevant to our times. Our shoes is not our discussion. So Rav Moshe says that it's even better. It's more like a piece of clothing for the person, because part of the standard of a piece of clothing is, so Rav Moshe says, this person is going to sit on this wheelchair, and even though they're not tied to the wheelchair, it's like a piece of clothing in the sense that there's no chance that he's going to get out of the wheelchair and leave it or not carry it. That's one of the problems in certain pieces of clothing. The Gemara talks about the question or the worry. There's certain pieces of clothing that we're worried that somebody will, in the course of their walking, will take off and then end up carrying. That's why many people don't wear gloves on Shabbat in the winter, because the worry is, as you're walking outside, if it's a place where there's no Eruv, and you meet somebody, you'll take off your glove to shake their hand good Shabbos, and then forget to put it back on and walk in the public place. There's no eruv in the what we're talking about. You walk in the public place with the glove off, and you'll carry. So here, though, Rav Moshe says it's better than those pieces of clothing because this person is certainly not going to take off their wheelchair in the course of walking on Shabbat. And therefore, he says, just like the Gemara talks about amputees being able to go out with the chair that they used to have and benches, there were things that they would use to ambulate themselves. The Gemara talks about that person being able to do it, even though they're not tied on to that person. And Tosfot had said there that if one uses sticks to walk, that even if the person the person cannot walk without sticks, today we would call them crutches or a cane or something like that. Tosafot there had said that one could use that, and the Rush says that it even if it's only says explicitly even if you only hold them and they're not tied on, and that's paskin that way in Shulchan Aruch, that one is allowed to do that. In other words, what Moshe is saying is we have a tradition that says that for people who can't walk, the things, the aids to their walking, to the extent that they're absolutely necessary for them to walk, become part of their clothing for Shabbat, and therefore they're allowed to use them even in a place where there's no Eruv. So that's a huge leniency, that's a huge avenue to allowing these people to do it. The question would be, well, let's say this person can walk a little bit. So let's say they can walk in their apartment or in their, wherever they reside, they can walk without their crutches or without their stick. They're not fully tied to a wheelchair, they're not fully tied to crutches or to a cane or to a walking stick, then you might say, well, so therefore, since they can do it in their house a little bit, wherever they live a little bit, maybe they're not allowed to do it, maybe they're not considered these people who cannot, because maybe we have to worry that they'll do it while they're walking in the public thoroughfare, and they'll carry it for amot, whatever that is, 6 to 8 feet, they'll carry it, and that'll be a Torah prohibition, a Torah violation. So Rav Feinstein says he doesn't think that's true. He thinks that's only when they can walk on their own in a longer way. So when they're out in public where they can't walk on their own that way, then you don't have to worry about it. And all the more so that the wheelchair is even better because they're certainly not going to get out of the wheelchair and walk and pull the wheelchair along in the middle of Shabbat when they know it's Shabbat, because they're not really able to, and they're not going to do it until they get to wherever they're going to get to. So as long as the amount of walking they have to do is a little far, where it's clear that they can't do it on their own, then it makes sense that we don't have to worry that they're going to get up, and then it makes sense that this is their form of clothing as they're trying to get from place A to place B, where it's too far for them to do it on their own. And therefore, Rosha says that the place where it's going to be prohibited to use sticks or canes or crutches in public would be where the amount one is going is the amount one is able to go within one's own apartment or residence or wherever one walks around inside. But to the extent that one is already going too far for that person to go on their own, so then Rav Moshe says the stick or cane or crutch or crutches or wheelchair become like their clothing in that they need it to go outside, and we don't have to worry that they're going to carry it in public and drop it, carry in public and not remember the prohibition in carrying. But, and this is important to remember, but other people can't push the wheelchair without an eruv being there. Why can't other people push the wheelchair? Because there is a rabbinic prohibition that you can't carry another human being, even if we say that a live person carries themselves, as we've spoken about before. So, for example, it's not true, and it's a rabbinic prohibition, and people don't always remember this or know this, that let's say you have a toddler who can walk on their own, and this is where it comes up. It used to come up. Nowadays, I think there are eruv in many more places, but I know from when I was a child and I had younger siblings, it certainly came up. You'd be walking in a place where there's no Eruv, and an 18-month-old, a 2-year-old, can all of a sudden say, I don't want to walk anymore. So, yes, it's a child who can walk on their own, and therefore, yes, the mother or father is allowed to hold the child's hands while they walk, and here's where the temptation is to pull them along and force them to walk. And that would be a little harder to understand, because there, you can easily imagine they're actually resisting, and once they're resisting, they're not being noticed. That's what Ezra Moshe has said about the ill person, in any case, but it's So the temptation is to just pick up the baby and walk, and you can say, Chai no se et atzmo, a live person carries themselves. So Rav Moshe is reminding us that the Gemara says that there is a rabbinic prohibition on carrying a person, a human being, even though we think that they sort of help in the process of being carried, that's not allowed. It's prohibited rabbinically. The fact that it's prohibited rabbinically only, in quotation marks, means that we're allowed to do certain activities without worrying that we might then come to carry them, but it doesn't mean we're allowed to carry them. So here too, even if we say that this person's wheelchair is like a beged, is like their garment, but that's because that's when they're going to be ambulating themselves. But to push their wheelchair, Rav Moshe says, that's like carrying them. And that's at least the Rabbanan. And he says it might even be a Doraita. It could end up being a Doraita. How could it end up being a Doraita? One example would be that, let's say you come to a place. Let's say you come to a curb, he says. There he thinks people can help out because it's not taking them 4 amot in the Rishit HaRabim. So less than 4 amot in the Rishit HaRabim is not prohibited. So not that it's recommended, and they're worth asking a question in all of these situations, but there is some room to say that if somebody carrying something less than 4 amot at a time, less than 6 feet at a time, and stops and rests, or even better, if they give it to somebody else, and that person carries it less than 6 feet, and they give it back, and that person carries it 6 feet, it's not that it's allowed, but the prohibition is significantly less. So here too, just the getting the wheelchair from a sidewalk into the street, or from the street into a sidewalk, if you have to just go up and down the curb, this is in a time when there wasn't as much care for making sure there were places where the sidewalks that had wheelchair accessible ramps up and down from the street to the sidewalk and vice versa. So nowadays, theoretically, the person in the wheelchair could do it on their own. But Rosh is saying that piece of it, somebody else could do it as well. Because somebody else can do it because that's at most a derabbanan prohibition of hotza'ah, that's at most a rabbinic prohibition of walking something in the Rishit HaRabim, of pushing it, because it's less than 4 amot, and therefore he thinks it's okay, because we think in that situation, we think less than 4 amot is in many, many situations not only not the right and not biblically prohibited, but it's not rabbinically prohibited either. Then when they get to the shul, if there's no step up into the courtyard of the shul of the Beit HaKnesset, then it's not going to be a problem either, because the person in the wheelchair can push themselves into the shul and then everything's fine. But what if there's some need to get in? There's a step up into the shul, into the shul courtyard. So shul courtyards, by which we mean there's a wall of some sort, a gate, a wall around the shul courtyard. That separates, remember that halachically, the definition of a reshut hayachid, of a private space, doesn't depend on ownership. People very often have a problem with that intuitive idea. They think, well, the shul is owned by the shul community, and therefore it's a separate space from the street, and therefore that should be a problem of going from the public place into the private place. But halachically, that's not the issue, that's not the concern. Halachically, it doesn't become a private place until it's set off by some barrier. So the barrier can be a wall, the barrier can be an elevation, but it's set off by some barrier. So if the courtyard of the Beit HaKnesset is of the shul, if the opening into the shul, the front place of the shul, doesn't have some kind of a physical separation that would stop the wheelchair from pushing, from the man, the person in the wheelchair from pushing him or herself into it, then everything is fine. There's no problem, the person can get in and then everything's good. But let's suppose there's something where the person in the wheelchair cannot push himself through, there's a step up. So then we have a problem, because assuming there's a wall around the court, the Beit HaKnesset, it's now a Rishut HaYachid, it's a private space in halacha. We're talking about where there's no Eruv. So then to go from a public place to a private space, you don't need 4 amot. You don't need to travel a certain amount of space. Just the passing from the public place into the private place is a problem in halacha. So that's going to be a problem. So Moshe says, so he thinks the way to get around that is to involve 2 non-Jews in the issue. Notice that you need 2, and we'll see why you need 2 in a second. The first one will take half the chair, the piece of it that the man's sort of full body weight, or the person sitting in the wheelchair's full body weight is on. That non-Jew will pick up that piece of it and pull it into the shul area, but only that piece of it. because there's no Torah prohibition until the whole chair is brought into from the public place into the private place. So if you get another non-Jew to take the other piece of it and push that in, then each non-Jew is doing half a malacha to oraita. And once the person is in the courtyard, they can push themselves already, and then that's not going to be the issue at all. So that the reason why it's important or necessary for a Feinstein to say that you have two non-Jews involved is because each non-Jew is only violating the Rabbanan. Because even though I said that it seems like it's allowed to move less than dalat amot in the public place, when it comes to moving from a public place to a private place, or vice versa, from Rishut HaRabim to Rishut HaYachid, or vice versa, they're even doing half. This is the first Mishnah in Shabbat, actually. They're even doing half of malacha. Half of the prohibition is not allowed, and is not allowed on a Rabbanan level. Doing the whole thing is not allowed on a Torah level. I'm not allowed, none of us are allowed to tell non-Jews to do things for us on Shabbos that are violations of Torah prohibitions. We are, in certain situations, allowed to ask non-Jews to do the Rabbanan prohibitions for us on Shabbat, because that becomes what's called a shvut to shvut. The asking the non-Jew to do it is the Rabbanan prohibition, and then the asking the non-Jew to do a Rabbanan prohibition is called a shvut to shvut. All that they're doing in terms of violating Shabbat, if I did it, would be the Rabbanan, and all I'm doing by asking them is a Rabbanan. And Chazal said that there are certain situations where the Rav Moshe here says a tzorach gadol, there are certain great needs where asking for a shvut to shvut is allowed. We're asking the non-Jew to violate the Rabbanan is allowed, and this would be the situation. So each non-Jew here is violating Shabbat on a Rabbanan. They're not violating Shabbat. They're doing something that if a Jew did it, would be a Shabbat violation on a Rabbanan level. Since it's only in quotation marks at the Rabbanan level, the rule is that we are allowed to ask non-Jews to do actions that for us violate Shabbat on the Rabbanan level. If there's a great need, what's the great need in our situation? It's always worth paying attention to what qualifies as a great need, that since this person cannot walk on his or her own, this person would have great tsar. In this case, I think it was a man, because he's referring to Lo, that is a man, that he would have great distress from not being able to attend a relative's simcha. So since he would have great success, great distress from not being able to attend, this is allowed. As soon as Rav Moshe says it that way, you wonder whether that means, I think it probably does, but he doesn't say it explicitly, whether that means what about a regular person who just wants to go to shul regularly? And to be able to get into the courtyard of the shul needs to have these two non-Jews help him out every week. Would that be a great distress? I think Rav Moshe might say yes, but in this case, it's about going attending a simcha. So what about getting that person near crutches, having a non-Jew carry that person's crutches there to the shul? I'm not sure why you couldn't leave the crutches in shul before Shabbat. It could be there was only one pair of crutches and then you needed them for Friday night. I'm not sure. But in any case, the rabbi writing the question had said that he'll have a lot of distress. He'll be very upset if he gets there and he has no crutches, he has no way to get around, and the Rabbanan of Amir al-Nahri wasn't in a place of great distress, and therefore he's allowed to do it. He's allowed to have the non-Jew bring it, and it's not considered like he's leading. And the rabbi writing the question to Rav Moshe said, and maybe it's not like he's creating the situation, the need to push aside to the Rabbanan, because he's just getting there and realizing he doesn't have crutches and he needs crutches, and maybe once you get there, he doesn't have to worry about it. This man actually compares it to it, assumes that it's clear to him that if everyone wants to go to a certain place, that he knows that by virtue of going to that place, he's going to need to have non-Jews attend to him in some Shabbat Rabbanan prohibited way, like a medication. Let's say somebody knows they get there, they're going to need to be revived or something. They're going to need to, that would be too dangerous, but they're going to need some kind of medical attention from non-Jews. This rabbi writing the question, Rav Moshe Feinstein, had said, maybe it should be not a problem, because once the person gets there and is ill in a way that needs the medical attention, there's no gzeira de Rabbanan. The Rabbanan never said that we're not allowed to take that kind of medical attention if we need it. But Rav Moshe says, That's only once the illness has come. But the idea that when there's no illness there, that I can make the illness happen and therefore allow it to happen, he doesn't think that should, that there's no logic to that. He doesn't think. He says, for example, we have a principle at Chutum Hodra Betzibur that there's certain sacrifices that can be offered when the community is tame, when the community is ritually impure, even though we say that it's fully allowed, even when there are people in that Beit Av, in that community of Kohanim who are Tahorim, and we could have theoretically said, let the minority bring it who are Tahor, and leave out the ritually impure majority. We don't say that. We say, no, you bring it by the majority, but nobody thinks that therefore we're allowed to just decide to become ritually impure, because there's no proof for that. So we're much saying the fact that something, once it happens, is going to be allowed, is we're allowed to engineer situations to have it happen, and therefore he's not convinced at all that that would be the situation as well. A person can go there, have the need for crutches, and then have a non-Jew violate Shabbat to bring him the crutches. So, and he says, Ramosha ends up saying, he doesn't think that there's any need for this, because if the person can walk with crutches, then that means they can walk with help from people as well, because that's all the crutches do, is they provide the assistance so they can help from people. The issue is that people don't want to always be dependent on other people for help, and that's why it's uncomfortable for them. For that reason, to avoid that discomfort, Moshe says he doesn't see any reason that we can allow Amir Lenachrim, we can allow asking a non-Jew to violate Shabbat for us in terms of bringing those crutches there. So obviously if somebody could leave crutches there before Shabbat, that would be fine, that would be great. But in terms of having somebody bring the crutches, violating the Rabban of Amir Lenachri, that Rav Moshe doesn't see room to do. So when it comes to using crutches or a wheelchair on Shabbat in place without an Eruv, Rav Moshe says that if the person really can't walk in the public, the distance this person is walking, they really can't walk without the crutches or the wheelchair, he thinks that becomes like a garment, and therefore it's allowed. Whether a place where the person, but that's only for ambulating themselves, that doesn't allow other people to do it for them. And whether a place where they can't go, curb to side, you know, curb from sidewalk down into street and vice versa, there might be allowed because there's no violation of Shabbat going on. But where it comes to going from the private place to the public place or the vice versa, there you'd have an issue and you'd want or hope to have two non-Jews helping out in that situation, because each of them would only be violating the Rabbanan, and that is a shvut to shvut, and that is allowed to become tzorach gadol. Where you have a need for it, that is allowed, and that's the way you could do it. But to have a non-Jew bring crutches for that person because they're going to need them, so their emotion holds, in contrast to this rabbi, that one is not allowed to manufacture a need, even if once the need is manufactured, the Torah allows us, Halacha allows us to then respond to that need in certain ways. That doesn't allow to manufacture that need, and that would be true in this case of going someplace where one knows one's going to need medical attention from a non-Jew, even though one who needs that medical attention is allowed to get it in those situations. One is not allowed to manufacture that need. This could actually have ramifications for other issues, other questions, but we'll stop here because that's where the tshuva stops, and that is a tshuva a day, a response of a day for the 28th of Tammuz. Rav Moshe Feinstein telling us about the ability for people to use wheelchairs or crutches when there is no Eruv. Thank you again for joining us. Have a great day.